The Taoiseach is at that EU leaders meeting in Budapest until this afternoon. So before he comes back here to call the election, among the big questions on the agenda in Budapest is the EU's competitiveness, particularly in focus now with Donald Trump's return to the White House. And from Budapest, I'm joined by our Europe editor, Tony Connolly. And obviously the fallout from the US election and what it means for EU economies is a big question, Tony. And they already had this big report from the former Italian Prime Minister and Commissioner Mario Draghi, and this is on EU competitiveness, and he basically says a lot more to do, isn't there?
Yeah, no, this was a report that was commissioned a year ago and it was really eagerly awaited, and it came out in September, a 400-page report, and it's a very stark warning from Mario Draghi that if you look at the European economy over the last 20 years, it's half the size of the United States in terms of GDP. It's in decline relative to China and the US, and really radical change is needed. Now, that's both reform and investment, and he said that there would be painful reforms to try and get the European Union to be a lot more competitive, a lot more innovative as well. All the big innovative companies come out of the US mostly, and obviously China is now a threat on that front as well. So it's about reform, but it's also about investment, and he says there's going to be up to 800 billion euro a year needed to invest in the green transition, in innovative companies, in infrastructure, and to meet all the needs that the European economy is going to need to meet. If it's going to halt and then reverse this economic decline. So that's what EU leaders are going to be discussing today. Simon Harris is here. I'm actually due to speak to him shortly, and we'll get that interview over to you as soon as we can. He's actually travelling straight now to the airport here in Budapest to travel back to do the needful at the Arsenuktran with dissolving the Dáil and so on. But his fellow leaders are going to be taking up that conversation today.
And 800 billion, Tony, it's a whopping amount of money. Where's it going to come from?
Well, this is the big question now. If you remember, after the COVID pandemic, Europe launched what was called a COVID Recovery and Resilience Fund. Now, that was almost up to €1 trillion. A lot of that was basically the European Commission going out into the market and borrowing money to fund that COVID recovery. And there's talk that that could be the model for the competitiveness drive. But again, you know, common borrowing at EU level is something that countries like Germany, the Netherlands, Austria are really instinctively against. So that's going to be a political battle. They're due to issue a Budapest declaration today showing how they're going to map the ideas of the Draghi report onto policy making over the next 5 years with a new commission. But, you know, there still are a lot of divisions there.
And Christine Lagarde and Pascal O'Donoghue will be talking to the leaders. I mean, one of the difficulties in all of this is that some economies like Ireland and Spain are doing quite well, but the big economies in Europe like Germany, France, Italy have all got major problems.
That's right. And yeah, you're always having those fault lines in a discussion like this. And of course, looming over everything is the victory of Donald Trump. Now, if he proceeds with his threat to put 10% tariffs on all European exports, then that could cost about 150 billion euro per year in lost export revenue for the European Union. And, you know, just think of Germany. It's going through its own crisis at the moment with the collapse in the coalition government. Germany exports a lot of automotive products, cars and parts to America, also pharmaceutical products. If there's going to be a major tariff imposition there, then that's going to hurt the German economy as well. So one big issue you're going to hear a lot about in the coming years is a capital markets union, developing much deeper, much more fluid capital markets so that Europeans can start investing their money into companies that would, you know, again, nourish the European economy rather than keeping money in bank accounts. So that's one of the issues they'll talk about today.
And this summit being hosted by Viktor Orban, who was saying yesterday after Vladimir Zelensky spoke to the leaders that the people of Europe are less ready to finance a war whose purpose they don't understand.
Yeah, I mean, this was a major showcase for Viktor Orban yesterday, hosting this meeting in Budapest. And he's been pretty much isolated in Europe in his position on Ukraine. He's cozied up to Vladimir Putin quite a lot. He keeps talking about peace, but peace on whose terms? That's the question that EU leaders keep asking him, because if you have a ceasefire or freeze the conflict, then that would simply benefit Vladimir Putin, and he would then, the critics say, wait and attack again in future once he has revived his position. But obviously the election of Donald Trump changes the dynamic of that debate, because that's something that he may well echo when he becomes president, and there's huge expectation and anticipation at EU level about how precisely Donald Trump will handle the Ukraine issue.
That's our Europe editor, Tony Connolly.